This audio comes to you from the Science of Mind archives.
Several months ago, I heard two people talk about a third party who wasn't there. Actually, she was in the hospital, that third party, and that person, one of the people said to the other, you know, she's sick. And the other person said, well, that's not the truth. And to which the first person replied, well, yes, it is. I saw her and she's sick. The other person said, her sickness may be a fact, but it is not the truth. In total exasperation, the first person says, fact, truth, it's all the same. She's sick. Well, I ask you, is it all the same? Is there any difference between a fact and the truth? Well, yes, there is. And I'd like to clarify what the difference is so that not only can we approach the creative process intelligently and with confidence, but so we can create a way to talk with other people that doesn't create confusion in their mind and probably even in our own minds. Webster defines the word fact by writing something that actually exists or something that has happened. He goes on to identify or define the word truth by writing something that exists, that which is conforming to reality. Well, there's not much difference, is there? So it's little wonder that some of us have a problem communicating our religion, our science, our way of thinking when we talk to people. The reason there's not much difference is because Mr. Webster is not defining either word from the spiritual perspective. Does that mean that then these two words are interchangeable? Well, in normal conversation, they might be, but not from the perspective of a person who knows that there's something beyond the physical world, not for the metaphysician. A person who acknowledges there's a reality that lies beyond the physical world, a spiritual reality, approaches all of life in a little different way. The person who deals with life from a spiritual perspective knows that the facts of the physical world are changeable, whereas the truth in the spiritual world is changeless. Now, a fact is something that identifies what has been set in motion and what has taken form. It may or may not reflect the truth. The truth reflects some aspect, however, of the spiritual realm, the invisible spiritual realm waiting to be moved into the world of facts. Now, very often, we denigrate facts. But I don't want to denigrate facts or think of them as lesser than the truth, because that's the place, the relative plane, where I want to demonstrate the facts. I want to demonstrate the truth. That's where the world of truth should be, at the level of facts. So let me continue to explain. The truth reflects some aspect of the spiritual realm, and it's the truth whether or not it ever takes form. So you got it? We're saying that there's a small r and a large r, a capital R. The small r is the physical world of facts. The capital R reflects the spiritual world. The fact that the person was in the hospital means something. What does it mean? The truth is that spirituality to the person in the hospital will always mean that that person was, is, and will always be perfect, whole, and complete. Now, that's the truth. What does the future actually hold for the person in the hospital? That depends on which reality is focused on. Jesus said, I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. He could have said, I live in the world of facts. I live in the world of facts, but I am of the spiritual world of truth. So the future depends on what we know, what we accept, what we embody without contradiction. Now, it's pretty easy to accept any one of these things, what we call the truth, for a moment or two. We certainly do it on Sundays when we make our affirmations. We do it when something happens in our lives. We see what the fact is and we affirm the truth about the fact. And that lasts for a couple minutes, depending on the individual. But it's so easy to fluctuate right back to the fact and start thinking of the fact that it is determining our future. Will the fact determine our future? If that's what we hold on to. What we're training ourselves to do is to hold on to the truth, to hold on to that spiritual truth so that the truth may become a fact in our lives. Either the facts or the truth, that's our choices. The truth exists whether or not it is ever perceived or becomes a fact. The truth travels with us wherever we go in every lifetime and never changes. We are perfect, whole, and complete for eternity. No matter what's happening in our experience at any particular time, however, the facts are in the constant state of change. The facts in your life change continually. What causes the truth to become a fact? What moves the truth from the spiritual realm to the realm of facts? Well, there's only one answer, and that's mind. When the invisible truth is accepted in mind as the only reality, not in contention with or comparison to, but as the only reality, it takes the form of a fact that is visible. I'll repeat that. When the invisible truth is accepted in mind as the only reality, it takes the form of a fact, and it can't help but do so, a fact that is visible. Now, does this sound complicated? It certainly might. If it does, it's understandable because we spent most of our lives relying on the facts to tell us about our lives, haven't we? Yeah. We let dates identify us. When were you born? What's your sign? Numbers, what's the number on your what is your social security number? Your driver's license number? Just go anywhere and fill out a form about anything and you'll find your life displayed on that piece of paper in front of you. But are you your resume or aren't you? Are you all those figures? Dr. Barker, Raymond Charles Barker once said, I am not a birth certificate on the way to becoming a death certificate. I am something bigger than all that. Well, we should never let our experience determine who we are. We are none of these things. All the facts identify is, however, the world of experience. And we've got to get to the point where we really distinguish the difference between a fact, which is totally legitimate for what it is, but that's all it is, it's a fact, and the truth. Well, that's the difference between what has happened and what can happen. One of the intellectual difficulties we must overcome is believing that the facts determine our future. Mind determines the future. And if mind focuses on the facts as the only reality, then it keeps the facts alive. When mind focuses on the truth, then whatever is inherent in that truth takes form. You see, such is the nature of mind, such is the power of mind, that what mind focuses on singularly is the only thing it's interested in, that's what takes form. You know, people wonder how they can take their career and have success in their career. It's simply a matter of focus. To focus on the success in a particular career to the exclusion of any other careers is what it takes. Now, I'm not saying that we can't be good and express ourselves in many different ways. Of course, we can. But you can't express yourself in any way if you approach, unless you're Da Vinci, you can't express yourself in any way if you take on five or six different careers at the same time and throw a bunch of stuff against the wall and hope some of it sticks. You have to be focused. What do I want to do? Am I willing to give my heart, mind, and soul over to doing that one thing? Now, as we develop that one thing, of course, we can add to it. and we can polish our talents and abilities and get better at more and more things. But unless we're along the way focused on what we want to experience, well, we're not going to experience much of anything. So mind must be willing to take a little deeper look at what appears on the surface. Now, what I want to do is go over a couple experiences with you and determine whether they are fact or truth. The answer will always depend on whether or not they reflect the spiritual reality or the reality of facts. And once again, that spiritual reality has a capital R, or the reality of facts, a small r, reality of facts. Let's take the case of someone whose body is showing signs of illness. Is the person ill? No, the person is spiritually perfect. It's the body that is sick. Now you may say, well, you're just, you know, you're splitting hairs there, same thing. It's not the same thing. You are not your body. And if your body is experiencing anything, then refer to it as your body, not you, because you're not your body. And long after you drop that body and don't want to use it anymore or have any use for it anymore, you will continue throughout eternity. Well, we're not any our bodies any more than we are our birth date, or we're our driver's license, or we're our experience. We're not any of these things. We are mind. We are the spirit that uses the body while we're here and wherever we are. So, sickness then is a fact, but it's not the truth. Why? Because illness doesn't reflect man's spiritual nature, and that includes women, of course, as well. Illness doesn't reflect the divine reality. What does? Ernest Holmes said it the best. Perfect man, perfect God, perfect being. Everything in its perfect understanding of what life is. Now, where should mind put its focus on? On that perfection or the fact and what the fact seems to be screaming at the individual? A person, let's say, finds that his job has been eliminated. What should the focus be? How should he react? Should he react by saying, this is a horrible disaster? I've heard a lot of interviews on TV this week about the current situation in our country called a recession. And I'll tell you something interesting. I truly believe that we got around that pig flu, what is it called? Swine flu, pig flu, same thing. We got around it because we refused to succumb to the race mind idea that everyone was talking about swine flu. It's gone. It's gone, and they're saying, oh, you can go back to Mexico now. Book your flights, do this, go back to living life normally. Did we succumb along the way? Well, some of us might have a little bit. But what did we do? In this service, a couple Sundays ago, and for several Sundays in succession, we took a stand. We were not going to accept it for ourselves or for anyone. Am I saying that because of our church, we cured the world? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. No, it's not what I'm saying. Thank you, Father. What I'm saying is we all contributed to the race mind in a healthy way. Does it end there? You say, well, it's easy to do with swine flu, but the recession, that has really taken a hold of people. Has it taken a hold of you? Good. Don't let it take a hold of you. Don't let the idea, the realm of being in a recessive country take hold of you, because it's so easy to do. Every time you turn the television on, every time I turn the radio on, even my beloved NPR screams of recession and all the things that have been closed and Chrysler's closed. My brother worked for Chrysler, and I listen to him often, and it's depressing to hear him if I would embody all of what he's saying. But I don't embody what he's saying. I let it go right over my head. Well, the point is, we must think for ourselves, and if there is something called recession or we have lost a job, instead of saying this is a horrible disaster, We can react by saying, and this is a simple affirmation, this is an opportunity for me to find a new way of expressing my spiritual nature. Years ago, remember the, Herald Examiner, remember the paper, for those of you who have been around for some time. Oh, about 30 years ago, the Herald Examiner, before it closed, offered its typesetters, an opportunity to learn the computer. Do you know many of them didn't want to learn the computer? So they left the Herald Examiner. They didn't have a job, and they blamed the Herald Examiner for not offering them the ability to continue to be a typesetter in a world which had eliminating typesetting. Now, I know there's a lot going on in the world today, and a lot of things are being eliminated. And we feel that sometimes these people have been cheated and those people have been cheating. I think the world is going through a master change. I think the world is being shaken up by all of us, because nothing happens to all of us that isn't happening through all of us. I think we're shaking the world up to say, let's look at things a different way. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not siding with the closing of the Chrysler plants or any closing of anything or anyone eliminating any job. But I'm saying this. How do you react to it? What happens to you isn't as important as the way you react to what happens to you. How many times have I said it? Many times. Do I listen to it? Yes, pretty much. But sometimes I find myself, not even find myself, because I'm like y'all, I find myself succumbing to the negative aspect of these conditions. And I have to bring myself back to thinking about it, to reacting about it in a healthy-minded way. Why? Because the way I react to what's happening in the world, I'm creating an experience for myself. But let's say we're talking to a friend. And the friend tells us that, you know, you're thinking in a way that really proves to me that you're living in a dream world. You know what Holmes said to that? He says, if we listen to this tale of doom and gloom, we might reverse our previous affirmations and erase our former spiritual concept. This does not mean that we should refuse to hold conversations with people for fear that they will neutralize the position we have taken in mind, but that we should refuse to mentally accept the false position, no matter where it comes from. Then we can talk to anyone and not be disturbed. Isn't that a good approach? Of course it is. We call ourselves true students, not fact students. What you're being presented on TV and the radio today and what I see, a bunch of facts. That's what they are. How do we relate to them? Do we see them as facts, or do we see them as eternal truths that are guiding the destiny of the United States of America? I know what I'm saying. And I know what often I do. I think of them as bits of information that are guiding our destiny. And I must not think that way. You must not think that way. We must react in a healthy-minded way. Don't let yourself be persuaded into accepting any facts as final. You determine what happens to the facts. Just remember that what you think about and the way you think about it determines your experiences, not the facts. We can think about our past and not be consumed by or even affected by it, if we have trained our minds to do so. You know, there are many people in the medical field who study sickness. Is the study of sickness in and of itself negative? That depends, could be. That depends on what's happening at the core of the mind of the one who's thinking. What's happening at the core, at the center of that mind? I've heard people talk about what's gone wrong in far greater detail than what could go right. Are you one of those people? Have you studied all the ramifications of what's wrong with yourself and what's wrong with this country? Or are you studying what could go right? There's a wide difference. When you study, when you think about, when you start embodying what could go right, you lift your spirits immediately and you start thinking, yeah, that I could do. I can do that. There's going to be a lot of Broadway references today because Marge Champion is in our audience today. Marge, where are you? Raise your hand. Somewhere. Anyway, one of my favorite tightrope walkers. No, she's a dancer, you know that, but when someone from Broadway comes, in the movies, comes into my audience, my mind just clicks on Broadway shows, and I'm liable to just break out in a dance any moment. Thanks, Father. You see, we've got to get the difference between the facts and the truth and stop thinking of the facts as truth, as permanent, as that's the way it is. All they are is facts, waiting to be dealt with the way we want to deal with them. Once we understand this, we have the key to demonstrating. For demonstrating depends on the way we are responding to and thinking about what we want to demonstrate. Four men responded totally different to the following issue. They were a Catholic priest, an Indian doctor, a rich Chinese businessman, and an Italian from New York City. Well, they were all waiting one morning for a particularly slow group of golfers in front of them. The Italian from New York was fuming. "What's with these jerks?" he said. "We've been waiting for 15 minutes between every shot." The Indian doctor chimed in and says, "I don't know, but I've never seen such slow golfers." The Chinese businessman called out, "Move it up. Time is money." The Catholic priest said, "Oh, well, here comes the greenkeeper. Let's have a word with him." "Excuse me, sir," said the Catholic priest. "What's wrong with that group ahead of us?" "Yes, they're rather slow," said the greenskeeper. "Aren't they?" "Oh, yes, well, they're a group of blind firefighters. They lost their sights, saving our clubhouse from a fire last year, so we always let them play for free and anytime they want. We let them take as much time as they need." The group fell silent for a moment. The Catholic priest said, "That's so sad. I think I'll say a special prayer for them tonight before I go to sleep." The Indian doctor said, "You know, that's a good idea. I'm going to contact my ophthalmologist colleague and see if there's anything he can do to help these blind firefighters." The Chinese businessman then says, "I'm going to donate $50,000 to the firefighters union in honor of these brave souls." The Italian from New York said, "Why can't they play at night?" Four totally different responses to the same issue. What is your response to the facts in your life? Do you think about them in a way that keeps them being the facts of your life? Or do you do your best to think about them from the consciousness of truth? Dr. Holmes is known for saying to learn how to think is to learn how to live. He didn't say to learn what to think is to learn how to live, but I believe both are important. The person who learns how and what to think can approach the creative process with confidence. They'll know that they're dealing with a changeable fact, not a permanent condition. And they won't be paranoid when it comes to thinking certain thoughts. Why? Because they know what they're absorbing and what they're not absorbing. But that takes training. The safest approach, I believe, for all of us is to think more about what we do want than why we shouldn't have what we don't want. And so when it comes to facts or truth, the metaphysician states that truth is more important than the facts because the facts can change. The truth is changeless. The truth is forever. How about financial problems? When a person has a financial problem, is it a fact or is it the truth? Well, it can never be the truth. Because the truth is such, though my self-image rules my life, I was made in the image and likeness of an abundant life force that is prosperous this very moment, if I can see it, if I can accept it, and I do. Eric Butterworth wrote these words: "The person who keeps conscious that the divine flow is ever centered within has the key to achieving prosperity." Jim Evering gave a treatment this morning, our pre-service treatment, and was excellent in delineating the importance of staying in the divine flow. Often facts, however, seem to be so compelling that it's hard to keep conscious of this truth. It's hard to keep conscious that you're in the divine flow. And every so often you hold on to your money thinking, I don't know if I'm going to have any more. Well, that's a way to keep yourself limited. That's a way to close that door on financial prosperity. And you know what they say, if you've got your hand closed, holding on to money, it's not open to accept more. Well, stay in the flow. You see, it's all about experiencing heaven on earth. Earth is a symbol for the fact. Heaven is a symbol for the truth. Attach your mind to the truth and get used to doing so. People who don't understand our religion, that don't understand metaphysics, might see us as those people who don't believe problems exist. Let them think what they want to think. We don't say problems don't exist. We say problem exists as facts. Problems are nothing more than facts and have no more power than the power that the mind perceiving the facts gives them. How much power do you give to facts? How much power do you give to illness, yours or anyone else's? How much power do you give to this recession? Can we really turn things around by knowing the truth? Four people think so. I'll ask it again. Can we really turn things around by knowing the truth?
Yes.
Damn right. And that's the way we've got to approach it. If we can't, there's no science of mind. That's true. How much power do you give to the fact that someone misunderstands you or you misunderstand someone else? What truth must be known when that happens? Spirit is always clear. I am spirit. I am clear. How much power do you give to that feeling of loneliness or depression? What truth must be known there? I am always one that is one with everything and everyone. Now that's the truth. And when you get that sense of interconnectedness, because that's the greatest gift of God, the unity of being, that we're all one. But you know, that's the truth. We are all one. And you can get rid of depression and loneliness by remembering that truth. But you can also not remember that truth and feel separated from everyone else. And when you feel separated, you might as well be separate from everyone else. But the truth is, you can never be separated from me or anyone else here or anyone else on the planet when you know you can't be separated from them. We are all, after all, affirming there's one mind, the mind of God. That mind is my mind right now. We do that every week. Well, how much power do you give to loss? Whether it's loss of a friend, loss of money, loss of a job, or loss of a loved one. What truth must be known? I've got an affirmation for you. Circumstances may change, people may come and go, but the perfect power of God is forever present, transforming my thoughts into my experience, and I'm thinking good thoughts. Simple. You see, it's all about knowing the truth, and in so doing, bringing heaven to earth. Shed the light of truth on all the facts in your life. And if you don't know how to think about a certain issue in your life, ask a practitioner. Go up to a practitioner after the service. That's the profession they're in. And say, and that's what they're trained to know, and tell them what's going on briefly in your life. Don't give them a three-act play. Just briefly what's going on and say, how should I think about this? They'll give you a general direction. They won't sit down with you for an hour and a half unless you engage them to. Well, the point is, ask a practitioner how to think about something and let your mind hear your lips speak words of truth. With all that's going on in the world, one way to live is to react to it by letting ourselves be affected by all the facts. Another way is to let the facts be the facts. Don't argue with the facts, but hold fast to the truth that says, perfect God, perfect man, perfect being. perfect God, perfect me, perfect being. Say it with me, perfect God, perfect me, perfect being. I thank you.
For more spiritual content like this, visit scienceofmindarchives.com.